Amen. Good evening. I'd like to welcome all of you here, especially if you'd be visiting with us. This being a Wednesday, first Wednesday night of the month, we usually have a worship and song, and that will be what we're doing tonight. The first prayer will be after this first song. Is there a scripture reading? I didn't get that. Okay. Please turn in the supplement number 97, Servant Song, if you'd like to look at the book. I'll lead this song, and then Brother Stephen Shockley will lead us in our first prayer, and then the various leaders will come up as they are in, scheduled to do.
Make me a servant just like your son, for he was a servant, bring me one. Make me a servant to what you must do, to make me a servant, make me
gracious and loving Heavenly Father, what a privilege and a blessing it is for us to be able to set aside this time where we can worship you in song and be edified by each other as we do so. Lord, each of us suffers through things, illnesses, emotions, poor spirit, but none of us suffered in the way that you have, and you did it for our salvation so that one day we can return home with you. Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice that you made for us. We thank you for the example that you set forth before us in ways that we should live and emulate our lives after you. Lord, help us to do so conscientiously, with thought. Help us to internalize your words. Help us to live by them every day. Lord, we are your hands and your feet here on the earth. Use us where you need us. Help us to help those who need help when they need it, and not when we think about it. Lord, there are many of our number who are not with us this evening, be it for illness, be it for physical reasons, be it for work, or maybe just poor in spirit. Help us to reach out to them. Help us to make it known that they are considered part of this fold, and more importantly, that they are loved by you. Lord, we fail you from time to time. Help us to recognize those things. Help us to turn from those things and to turn back to you for forgiveness and ultimately salvation. Through your Son's name that we ask these things. Amen.
I'd like to follow along and be reading a few verses from Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52, verses 13 through 15, having to do with Christ's humiliation and exaltation. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him. For what had not been told to them, they shall see. And what they had not heard, they shall consider. Number 434. In the large hymnal, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name, verses 1, 2, and 4. Number 10 in your supplement, My Eyes Have Seen Your Glory.
My heart, I struggle, but
sing number 166, He Loved Me So. And we'll sing the first two verses, number 166.
Next portion of our song service tonight will be about Christ's appearance. I'll be reading from Isaiah chapter 53, verses 1 through 6. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. First song I'll be leading is No, Not One, number 229 in your large hymnal.
No, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No. No, not one. No one else can heal all our souls. It is Jesus. No, not one.
now we'll sing What a Savior, number 31 in the large hymnal. No.
Once I was straying in sin's black valley, no hope within could I see. God sent from heaven a loving Savior to save us poor lost souls like me. Oh, what a Savior! Oh, hallelujah!
Can we restart that real quick?
Once I was straying in sin's dark valley, no hope within could I see. God sent from heaven a loving Savior to save a poor lost soul like me. Oh, what a Savior! Oh, hallelujah! His heart was broken on Calvary. His hands were nailed scarred, his side was riveted. He gave his life blood for thee and me. He left the Father
of the song service, we'll sing number 671, He Carried My Sorrows, just the first two verses.
He carried my sorrows, He bore my grief. What tears, what expression of faith for thee.
Holy God and Father in heaven, what a privilege and an honor it is to be able to come together tonight as your children and worship you and in song and approach you in prayer. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you for the words of these songs that we've sung and that we'll continue to sing that remind us of the great sacrifice that you provided for us, that he endured, the suffering that he endured, the shame, the pain. Thank you for his example of servitude. Thank you for his example of love. Thank you for loving us so much that you sent him that we might not perish. Father, help us to be like Jesus. Help us to study your word. Help us to be prayerful. Help us to meditate on the things that we read. Help us to learn about him and to strive every day to be more like him in the decisions and the choices that we make. Help us to think about Jesus. And help us to let him be seen living in us. May those around us see something different in us. May it arouse their curiosity, make them ask questions, and may we be ready to give a defense of those things that we believe to be the truths from your word. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you for the hope that we have of an eternal home in heaven because of him. May we glorify him. May we glorify you in everything we do. We pray that this service will rise up as a sweet aroma to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good evening. There we go. My first song this evening will be number 580 in your large hymnal. Number 580, 10,000 angels. Number 580. We'll sing the first, second, and fourth verse in the chorus after each verse.
They found the hands of Jesus in the garden where he prayed. They led him through the streets in shame. They sat upon the sacred
Next song will only be on the screen behind me. How deep the Father's love.
We'll sing all three verses.
No.
How deep the
next song will be number 671. We'll sing the last two verses, verses 3 and 4. He carried my sorrows.
Despite and rejected, he knew no sin, was crushed for his people, no violence within. He knew by his stripes I am healed, through his blood I am healed, for by his oppression I worship my King.
I just realized a second ago when I got up here that I didn't read the verse that was for this section of song. So if you would turn to your Bible in Isaiah 53, and we'll read verses 7 through 9. It reads, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people, and they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth."
Our next section of songs will be about Christ's victory and the Christian's work. To contrast with our last section, which is about Christ's submission, immediately following that in Isaiah 53, verse 10. "Yet it was not the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offering, see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will not divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors." Our next song will be number 158 out of the Large Songbook, "Nailed to the Cross." Song will be number 15 out of the supplement, "Exalted."
No, song will be number 659, Channels Only.
Take out your Bible, please, and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll begin reading in verse 18 and read down through verse 25. I want to thank Dave for putting the service together and giving me the heads up on what it was going to be about. And so hopefully we can tie these things together as we think about our suffering Savior. Anybody in here get tricked for April Fool's Day today? Anybody that got tricked? Oh, we got some hands up. Look, these are our gullible people, right? Anybody in here trick someone else for April Fool's Day? Do we have any of tricksters? If you raised your hand twice, I guess you really like the holiday. And maybe for some of you, you're sitting there saying, oh, that explains it, something that happened to you today. There is an old story. Perhaps it has some truth to it, of the gullibility of Thomas Aquinas. And it goes like this. Thomas, Thomas, two snickering friars called, rousing their brother who is bent over his books. Look out the window. There are pigs flying about in the sky. Thomas rose at once and bounced to the window incredulously. The friars laughed. Putting the finishing touches on the jest, the saint responded, I would rather believe that pigs can fly than believe that my brethren could lie to me. Touche, right? Sometimes the best course, even on a day like today, is to be made a fool. And certainly, sometimes the best course is to be made a fool for Christ's sake. Are you there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1? Begin reading with me in verse 18. For the message of the cross, that suffering servant about whom we've sung this evening, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Now, that's also from the book of Isaiah. Just before we get to all the suffering servant passages, what was one big way, or the big way, God was going to do that? He was going to do it through his suffering servant, who was not at all what they expected of their Messiah. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the Jews request a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. In the first century, there were two big stumbling blocks that kept people from obeying the gospel. One was the resurrection, but the other, and perhaps the bigger of the two, was this idea that God would leave his throne in glory and come and live as a man, and not just live as a man, but that he would suffer and that he would die on a cross. And that God's big plan from before the foundation of the world included the death of the one who came to save mankind. That was foolishness, especially to the Greeks in their self-professed enlightenment. And certainly as they understood the gods, the idea of a God willingly sacrificing himself for the salvation of mankind, that is not how the Greek gods acted. It was foolishness. It was foolishness to expect a God to be so loving, so merciful, so thoughtful, and so sacrificial toward mankind. Couldn't get over it, many of them. And maybe the way of the cross is foolishness to people today. Maybe it's foolishness to your friends or classmates or parents or family. Maybe they don't get the idea of devoting yourself to Jesus wholly and fully and totally. Now, we live in an area of the country and a time in history where a little bit of Jesus, most people want a little bit of Jesus, but the idea of sacrificing yourself, of putting to death who you used to be to serve God fully, that's foolishness in the eyes of many. And maybe they don't see the reason to it, the benefit of it, or the truth in it. To them, it's foolishness. And that should be, in some ways, just fine to us, because that has always been the way of some when they see and hear the message of the cross. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, that message of the cross is the power of God and the wisdom of God. To us who are being saved, it is God's power and it is his wisdom to bring about our salvation. In fact, as we've sung, we boast in it, because it was that foolishness of God that has brought about our salvation. If you're here this evening and you are not yet a Christian, I have something cute written down. You know, April Fool's, it belittles what God has done. And if I must be viewed a fool to accept a God who sacrifices himself, then a fool I am for Christ's sake. And I hope and pray that you'll become a fool this evening in the eyes of men, but wise and saved in the eyes of God, if you'll come in humble submission and put Christ on in baptism so that you might rise to walk in newness of life. And if we can help you with that even now, won't you come while together we stand and while we sing.
Jesus, the loving shepherd.